All right, tonight's shiur is on Parshas Acharei Mos Kedoshim, and the title of the shiur is Jews and Tattoos, which I was actually very proud of coming up with. I was bragging to Tamar about my title, Jews and Tattoos, but the main area that we're going to take up is an area in Parshas Kedoshim, which discusses the Isser of a Jew to get a tattoo. So there are really going to be three areas which we're going to take up in this area of tattoos. One area is going to be the philosophy, and then the second part we're going to take up a piece of Gemara, and then at the end hopefully we'll get to interesting halacha l'maisa, I hope. So hopefully at the end of this year we will have accomplished those three things, or those three areas. Of course, we're not going to be able to go into every single detail of this area because it's a big area, but hopefully we'll get some insights into the philosophy, the Gemara, and a little bit of the halacha l'maisa. Before we begin with the source sheet, I came across an article many years ago in the New York Times about how tattoos have become more in vogue amongst non-religious Jews. The title of the article is, "For Some Jews, It Only Sounds Like Taboo." So the article is basically pushing how many Jews nowadays are getting into tattoos and how they view tattoos as taboo. And there are a couple interesting things about this article, and maybe we'll come into the article when we go into the sources a little bit. But the first interesting thing about the article is, I'm going to read it inside the article. Basically, this old-fashioned non-religious Jew, she doesn't want her children to get tattoos. And the article goes on, "By the time Miss Kaplan's daughter, Liz Carnes, 49, had teenage daughters who wanted body art, Miss Carnes knew how to dissuade them. I'd say, if you get a tattoo, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery, said Miss Carnes, the owner of a video equipment company in Carlsbad, California, for no real reason, just that's what my parents told me." So this is a very common misconception about tattoos, but it's famous. People think that if you have a tattoo and you're Jewish, you won't be able to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. And later on in the article, it says, "But the edict isn't true. The 8 rabbinical scholars interviewed for this article from institutions like JTS and Yeshiva University said it's an urban legend, most likely started because a specific cemetery had a policy against tattoos." And actually, even though they're quoting from JTS, but there is a truth to that idea. And the reality is that it's a myth that if you have a Jewish tattoo, you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. It's just like any other Isser. And if somebody, for example, ate fat or ate milk and meat, they would still be buried in a Jewish cemetery. So too, by tattoos, there's no difference. So we can get rid of that misconception right off the bat. Another humorous thing that I found in the article was in discussing this reform rabbinical student. So I'm just going to read inside. It says, "Take Marshall Clavin, 29. While studying in Israel as a teenager, he decided to become a rabbi." So it's talking about this guy who was obviously reform or conservative, and he decides to become a rabbi. "For the first time, it became not just the Jewish people, but my Jewish people. So he no longer looked at the Jewish people in the abstract, but he looked at it as if they were his own. He said, this sense of belonging inspired him to get the first of his 3 tattoos, a Star of David and a dove." So I found this humorous that you have an individual who's deciding to become a rabbi, and his first decision in becoming a rabbi is to violate the Torah and to get tattoos. So that's kind of humorous to me. And it goes on, "For me, it's about cultural pride and connecting in this very tangible, very visible way to a part of our lives that isn't so tangible," said Mr. Clavin, who is now a rabbinical student at Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati and is writing his thesis on tattooing in the Jewish tradition. So apparently, the point or the purpose of a rabbi in the Reform movement is to break down the Torah and to demonstrate why the ideas in the Torah aren't really true and aren't things to be upheld, which is kind of humorous. But this New York Times article brings this to light. But we're going to come back to the article, because this particular student, or this person, Marshall Clavin, he actually asks a good kashya. On the area. Anyways, so we were discussing the rabbinical student at the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, and it says that he's writing his thesis on tattooing in the Jewish tradition. Of course, this individual already got 3 tattoos, so he's obviously biased in the area of tattoos. But I found it funny that for a first-time rabbi, when he decides to become a rabbi, he violates the Torah, and his whole thesis is on how tattooing is really ancient and how it doesn't really apply to nowadays. But we're going to actually utilize this article when we go into the sources, because I think he asks a good kasha in the article on tattooing, and we're going to have to defend the Torah against this approach to tattooing. So let's start with the psukim. Let's go into the sources themselves. As I said before, the source for the Isser of tattooing is in Parshas Kedoshim. And if we look at number one, I'm going to read the pasuk beforehand because I think it's relevant. It's Vayikra Perek Yotes Pasuk Chav Zayin. It says, Lo sakifu pe'as rashechem ve'lo sashches es pe'as zikanecha. So the first Isser brought down before the idea of tattooing is you're not allowed to have, I would call it a bowl or mushroom haircut, meaning you can't shave off the bottom half of your hair and with a razor and leave just the top half. And v'lo sashchis es pe'as or es pe'as zikanecha, and you're not allowed to destroy the corners of your beard. Also, so these two prohibitions are with regard to your hair. Once again, you can't shave off completely the bottom half of your hair and leave the top to have like a pure mushroom or bowl cut, and nor can you shave off certain elements of your beard with a razor. The psukim go on, and the next pasuk is number two. Miriam's going to read the next pasuk. Uksoves kaka. Lo sitenu bachem. Okay, the next pasuk says a person is not allowed to make a cut in his skin over. We're gonna see what the case is, but you're not allowed to make a cut in your skin. And uksoves kaka, which we're gonna explain, means tattooing. You're not allowed to put within you. Lo sitenu bachem. Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. So the Torah doesn't really explain to you what the philosophy is. We have to go to the Rishonim for that. If you look at number three in Rashi, he doesn't tell you the exact philosophy, but he kind of hints to it. If you look at number three, Viseret LaNefesh. So when is the Isser of self-mutilation, when does it come about? Kein Darchan Shel Amorayim Lios Misartin Bisarim Kishem Meis Lahem Meis. So it was the path or the way of the Amorayim, the non-Jews, they would cut into their skin as a sign of mourning when somebody close to them died. So the Jews were obligated not to act in that way and not to cut our skin when we're in Avelis, when we're in mourning. And then Rashi goes on, he says, Uchsoves Kaka. So what is that? Kasav Hamechuka Vishakua. So it's a ksav, it's a writing that's etched and sunken in a person's skin. She'eno Nimchak Le'olam. It's never really, it's unable to be erased. Shemekako b'machat, it's etched into a person's skin with a needle, v'hu mashchir l'olam, and becomes black forever. So what is this? This is clearly tattooing. You're taking a needle, you're cutting into the skin, and the ink goes into that area, and it creates a permanent etching in the person's skin. So the Torah is telling you, in the same pasuk, that you can't cut into your skin over mourning, and also you can't get a tattoo. And Rashi goes on to explain what kaka means. He says that it really means from the idea of sunken into your skin. He says lashon v'hokaosam, which means to hang them, v'hokanum tochvun eitz ba'aretz. They would take a pole and they would stick it into the ground. V'tolin osam aleim v'nimtzu mechukin utchuvin b'karka. They would be stuck in the ground. So there's an idea of the tattoo and the ink being stuck in your skin. So that's the idea of chsoves kaka. So from this Rashi, we don't really get, he explains Viseret LaNefesh, but he doesn't really explain the reasoning or the concept and the philosophy as to why it would be a problem for a Jew to get a tattoo on his body. So, but he does kind of give you a hint as to what the problem would be. Where's the hint in Rashi? What do you guys think from Rashi? What would the problem be?
Usually getting a tattoo is you are cutting into your skin.
Okay, and what was the problem of cutting into your skin?
You would cause a hurt to yourself.
But is that, what does Rashi say? What is the reasoning that Rashi gives for cutting the Isser of cutting into your skin? He says, V'chein darchan shel amorayim. It's the ways of the non-Jews. Apparently the non-Jews utilize this method and were obligated not to use the same method that the non-Jews use. The Rambam actually, he's more explicit in explaining the philosophy of tattooing. So we're going to do the Rambam. I think the Rambam is actually very much in line with Rashi. And so let's begin. In number four, the Rambam gives an overview in Hilchos Avodos Kochavim, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph, of that parak and the parak afterwards in the Rambam. So we're going to read inside. Miriam's going to read.
In Hilchot Bechukat Ha'ovzi Kochavim, Lo Mint Min, Lohem Lo Nobosh, Lo Vishar, Kiyotze, Behen Shememar, Lo Tzafu Bechukat Gaim.
Okay, he starts off by saying, we're not allowed to walk in the path or follow the path of the Ovdei Kochavim, and we're not allowed to be similar to them, not in the way that we dress, and not in our hair, the way our hair is presented. As it says, you should not follow in the path of the Goyim. Go on.
In the Mar Befukosehem, Lo Tzofim.
And it also says, similarly, you should not follow in their path. Befukosehem, Lo Tzofim. It's another Pasuk, similar type of idea.
In the Mar, Hashomer Lef Pen,
So, and also the Torah says, guard yourself from these things, lest you be ensnared by them. So, once again, the Rambam is explaining that we're not allowed to be similar to non-Jews in our dress and in our hair. Go on. So just like the Yisrael is separated from them in his actions and his knowledge, so too he has to be separate in the way that he dresses and the way that he looks.
Okay.
Okay, and it says in the Pasuk, I separated you from the other nations. So don't dress in the malbush, in the clothing that's specific to them. Like, for example, like a pope's or a priest's robe. It would be usher to wear that. You're not allowed to grow out your hair like them. Go on. Haseyar.
Loris.
So you're not allowed to cut off or shave off all the hairs on the side of your head and leave just like a little bit in the front, which is called the bloris. That's the name of it. That's what it's called. So you can't have the Hare Krishna look. You're not allowed to have your whole head bald and leave a little bit of hair in the back. And we're not allowed to copy them in the way that we build our sanctuaries. We can't copy their churches. So if you do any of these things, you get malchus. So basically the Rambam, he's introducing this area by saying that we're not allowed to follow in the path of the Goyim, not just in their actions, but also in the externals, in terms of the hair, in terms of the dress. We can't even copy them in terms of how they build their sanctuaries. And the Rambam, within this frame of reasoning, he explains tattooing. So if we look at number 5 in the Rambam, it's Hilchos Avodos Kochavim Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud Aleph. He says Ksoves Kaka Ha'amura B'Torah. So when it says tattooing or Ksoves Kaka in the Torah, Plushi Saret Al Bisaro. So it means making a cut in your skin. V'Yemale Makom Hasrita, and then you fill in that cut with Kichol, with blue dye Odiyo or ink, Oshar Tzivonim Haroshmim, or any type of color that makes an imprint. V'Zeya Mina Ga'akom. This was what the Avodos Kochavim, or the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, would do. Shiroshmin Atzman Avodos Kochavim. So they would imprint themselves, and they would make a sign on their skin, La Avodos Kochavim, Klomar, meaning to say, Shu Eved Machorla Umursham Avodasa. It's basically a sign that I am a slave to this Avodah Zarah, and I am imprinted to doing the actions or the service of this Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam is... he's pretty consistent here. He's saying there's a general isser to follow in the path of the Goyim and to act like them, and not just to act like them, but to appear like them. And so too, by a tattoo, this apparently was the minhag of the Akum, and therefore we're not supposed to be engaged in it. So what is the question? I said we're going to go back to the article to raise a question on the Rambam. So the article, it quotes, once again, this rabbinical student, this very devout rabbinical student. It says, for Mr. Klavin, he's discussing tattooing, historical context is key. When Vayikra, or Leviticus, was written, tattooing was largely a pagan practice, done to mark slaves or to show devotion to a para. So he's saying, at the time of the Torah, it was really a pagan practice. Mr. Klavin said, since tattooing has evolved, he thinks the rule may be outdated. So he's saying that tattooing has evolved as a form. So therefore, the reasoning in the Torah is outdated. And also, another argument is that this was something that occurred in the past, but it doesn't happen nowadays, really. We see that, I think his main argument is that we see that nowadays, people don't really do this for Avodah Zarah. They don't really tattoo for Avodah Zarah. So why exactly would it be, or how can we explain that the Torah would asher this for all generations if we see that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they don't really do it for that purpose nowadays? What's the concept? How do we defend the Torah in this manner? Because it seems like the Rambam is saying this was the practice of the Ovdei Avodah Kochavim, but they don't do that anymore. People don't tattoo for that purpose anymore. So why is it that it's still usher? Philosophically, why would you say that tattooing should still be usher, even though, despite the fact that its source has gone and we no longer see it used for that purpose anymore? So what would be the answer for, or how can we defend the Rambam against this apikorsos? So anybody want to try to defend the Rambam, and I think Rashi's approach as well, from this line of reasoning?
Just the same reason why we still have Yayin Mabusha.
Okay, but what's the reason
why?
okay. Anybody else? You want to elaborate?
No.
Anybody else want to give a shot? Give it a shot. But it's a good. You recognize the question, right? Basically, the question is: the Rambam is clearly saying the philosophy of this Isser is based on something that happened in the past. But I would say, based on the reality of the present, that it doesn't happen anymore for that purpose. So you should say, oh, that the Isser, the Torah was made for all generations, and we see that this is no longer practiced for this purpose. So you should say that it should no longer be prohibited. So what kind of idea is it that the Torah would usher something that would be out of style? So I think the idea is, I want to answer the Rambam and just try to defend the Rambam. I think what the Rambam's saying is that the way a person looks and the way the Ovdei Avodah Zarah look in specific and the way they dress, it's not just coincidental to their philosophy and their beliefs, but it's really an outgrowth of their philosophy. So really, I would say that nowadays Avodah Zarah, at least in terms of actually worshipping or bowing down to idols, isn't really present and it's not really so relevant. But the emotions and the instincts that cause people to do Avodah Zarah and to believe in Avodah Zarah, they're still present nowadays. So the idea the Rambam is saying is that a person shouldn't underestimate the way the Ovdei Avodah Zarah dress and the way they appear and look at it as a mere coincidence to their philosophy and their beliefs, but rather the way they dress and the way they present themselves is really something that satisfies the same emotions that propel an Ovdei Avodah Zarah to actually bow down and worship Avodah Zarah. So I think the Rambam is saying that we have to be cognizant of the fact that despite the fact that technical Avodah Zarah doesn't exist, the emotions of Avodah Zarah still exist. People still believe in powers in the physical objects and physical world, and they still have emotions that seem to be drawn to that type of philosophy. And we can't say that a person's appearance and the way that they dress is accidental to that, but it's rather a reflection or an outgrowth of those emotions and those instincts. So despite the fact that technical Avodah Zarah doesn't exist, the same emotions exist, and we have to recognize that dressing this way or acting in this way, not acting but appearing this way, really satisfies the emotions or the instincts that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah really contain, are motivated by. So I think that explains the Rambam a little bit. I just want to go, this is my own personal, I would say a little bit more insight into this area, I think the reason why dress, the way an Ovid of Odazara dresses and appearance is so important in their philosophy is that, see, they relate to their God in a tangible way. So the idea is that to them, like, service of God is through the externals, through the body and the guf and the appearance. Because they relate to God, they don't relate to God as something abstract. So that expresses itself. The reason why it expresses itself in the body and the way they appear is actually a reflection of their very perception of Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is really, the God is physical, he's tangible. So I'm going to utilize the body and the image to worship him or to become closer to him. Whereas in Torah, the real idea is that God's non-physical and we can't relate to him through, technically we can't relate, or philosophically we can't relate to him through the appearance and through our bodies. And in fact, we relate to him through our soul and through our emotions and through our minds and through everything that makes up the soul. So the idea is that really the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they tend to put tremendous emphasis on the appearance and the body, whereas in Torah, we tend to put our emphasis on the soul of the person and instead of the body. So I think that explains, or maybe defend, or we can use that idea and that svara to defend the Rambam against this type of heretical criticism by Mr. Klavan, Mr. Klavan. Okay, does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions on that, or do you agree with that concept? Okay.
I think also you really can't say that it's just like it's totally not a Christian idea anymore. Because I think it still is.
It's true. Well, Miriam's also pointing out that there are some aspects, there are some ideas, like Christian popes and priests do still dress a certain way. So those, it would still be usher for a Jew to wear those types of clothing. But I'm talking about tattooing in specific. You don't really see so much that it's utilized in a pagan sense anymore. But like I said before, the idea is that these things are really an outgrowth of emotions that are really drawn to Avodah Zarah. And the emotions they manifest themselves in the physical and the appearance and the dress because of the fact that Avodah Zarah itself is a tangible idea. It's an idea that I can touch my God. I can relate to him through my body. So that's why image and appearance are so crucial to their philosophy. But in Torah, it's the opposite. We have to recognize that we can't give in to those emotions, and we have to recognize that the way that we worship God is through our soul and through our subservience to God in that way. So I think that's the Rambam, and...
Didn't you also say, though, that if that is how we relate to God, then why does it matter what we do to our body?
What do you mean?
Meaning it's just decorative.
No, but the idea is that's the point. The point is, pentinaki shachareyam. The pasuk says you might become ensnared by it. So meaning, once you involve yourself in these types of image and appearances and the way that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to look, so you can't fool yourself and think that's not, your emotions aren't being affected by it, and that you're not going to be drawn into the Avodah Zarah itself. The idea is that the way you look and the way that you dress also satisfies emotions, and it's technically an outgrowth of the same Avodah Zarah emotions that drew the person to worshiping the God. That God. Yeah, the idea is that the main idea is that of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, their main flaw is that they're drawn to a physical God, but that emotion also expresses itself in a physical mode of worship, meaning dressing and appearing a certain way, because there's a concept in their philosophy of relating to God in a physical manner. So the idea is the way you dress and the way you appear is not coincidental to your philosophy as an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It actually satisfies many of the Avodah Zarah emotions. So the Jew, even Bizman Azeh, he has to be aware of that, and he can't dress like them as to avoid being satisfied by those, or being ensnared by those emotions. The same emotions that motivate the Ovdei Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but then you could say the same thing about, like, piercing your ears.
Piercing, your question is, why does the Torah choose to isolate certain appearance, certain things?
Maybe ear piercings weren't used as Avodah Zarah.
Yes, but I'm just... Yeah, but it's not the same concept, because the Torah is isolating things or certain elements that the Avodah Zarah would use, because it's showing you that these things in particular were things that appeal to those emotions. Like having the mushroom haircut. Apparently, it somehow appeals to the emotion of the Avodah Avodah Zarah. Or it's not just anything, but it's specific things. Or tattoos. They appeal to the emotions of the Avodah Zarah. You could see more so...
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You can see more so by the tattoos, because by the tattoos you're really demonstrating your allegiance to God through the body, through the guf. And the idea is that the Torah selected certain... Your question is, why did the Torah select certain things and not other things? Now, I'm just explaining that the Torah selected certain things because they tend to satisfy emotions of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and we have to be aware of that. I don't know why ear piercing wasn't included in that. I can't explain why the Torah didn't include other things, just what the Torah is doing by including these things.
Well, ear piercing isn't as permanent. You know, you can take out ear and it's not a big statement. You get a tattoo and you're stuck with it for life. You know, people
right.
really like...
Or it could just
have,
be
like,
ear...
really, really, really want
right.
to go for it. Like, a guy in my class just got like, a huge tattoo up his arm.
Right.
He won't wear short sleeves anymore. He won't, like, he has to show it off to everybody.
Right, so Miriam's saying that it's a more permanent... at least by tattooing versus ear piercings, tattooing is a more permanent type of commitment as opposed to an ear piercing, which I guess goes away. And also ear piercings, I think, are primarily for beauty and for appearance, whereas these things, apparently the Torah is saying, were an expression of those emotions, not just an emotion of beauty. But we should be aware of that, okay? So we're going to go on. That's the opinion, I think,
about the ear piercing?
Yeah.
Uses that in a similar way with
the yes, that's a good point. We're gonna leave that point aside for now, but that's a good question. I mean, by the Eved Ivri, it's like a similar type of idea as the type of, as tattooing, basically. But there, I would say it's different because he's demonstrating avdus there to another individual, but he's not demonstrating avdus to God. So I would say that when you're dealing with ideas about how to worship God or emotions that come out in terms of worshiping God or relating to God as your master, you have to be very careful and you can't engage in acts of physical devotion through the guf. But by the avdus, in terms of the slave standing under the master, there it's really avdus to a human being. So there is some type of room for that. It's kind of, it's a little bit different, but it's a good kasha. I think just leave it aside for now. So that's the shita of the Rambam and Rashi. So the main thing, just to summarize, Rashi and the Rambam is that even though Avodah Zarah is not present practically, the emotions are still there, and we have to be aware that those emotions are satisfied through appearance and through the way we look, and tattooing fits under that category, as the Rambam says. Now we have a different approach, a little bit different. It's really the Svarno. And the Svarno is number 6 inside, and he says... I'm going to read Uviyos midarche yiras hakel uchvodo. So in line with the path of fearing Hashem and His glory and giving Him kavod and respect, shlo nechalel gufos amo asher kidesh laavdo. So we're not allowed to profane or I guess to mark up our bodies which are designated to serve God. Asher lo sakif amar lo sakifu. It says that you're not allowed to have the mushroom cut. Really, the hair is an extension of the body, and we're not allowed to basically be mechalal our guf, our body, or our head through this haircut. Like people who are imbeciles and drunkards and even priests, the way they do it. So he's not limiting it to Avodah Zarah. We're not allowed to shave our beards. Ka'omram hadaras panim zakein. That beautiful face is one with a beard. The lo b'saret lenefesh, and you're not allowed to make cuts in your body. Kimachshivim me'od misas ha'adam u'misablim me'od aleha. When they are mourning, they make cuts in their body. So you're not allowed to make cuts in the body because it's a chil haguf. It's damaging the body. V'chein b'ksoves kaka. So too by tattoo. Loses os b'vsarenu milvad os habris. So we can't put a sign in our bodies, milvad os habris, except for the os habris. What is the os habris? Anybody? What was he referring to? Where do we have what signs do we have in our body? That's
bris
mila, right? So it's referring to bris mila. So the Svarno is really saying that the problem or the philosophy behind a tattoo is that we're not allowed to have another os aside from the os habris. Our os habris. So just so the Svarno is saying very different than the Rambam. He's basically saying the Svarno is saying the essential idea of a tattoo or the problem is that it's a chil haguf. It's really a problem that you're desecrating the body, and in desecrating the body, you're also rejecting our os habris. There's some type of rejection of our type of sign that we're for God. So he's giving a little bit of a different idea than the Rambam. But we said before, I just want to take up the what's the difference between our ospris and their ospris? Because we were saying before that we don't really worship God through the body, but yeah, we have an ospris as well. So what's the, there has to be a fundamental difference between a tattoo and our ospris. So I want to look at the smart.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
And this might be a dumb question, but wouldn't that just apply to men?
Yes, that's why, okay, good question. All right, good point. Yes, the ospris only applies to men. Man, so you see, I guess you see that it's not essential to have this in order to be Jewish, right? It's only a din in men. But we're going to discuss like what the idea is, why it's limited to men. Okay? So if you look at the Sforno in number 7, the Sforno explains that, so I want to be consistent. I want to use the Sforno because he's comparing, or he's saying that by having a tattoo, you're rejecting somewhat our ospris. We can only have one ospris, we can't have two. So there must be some similarities, but also some differences. So if we look at this Sforno number 7, Miriam's going to read. Look at the ospris, Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is on Bris Mila.
Vosa esprisi fishmer.
No, skip the next one. The ospris, no, Yud Aleph.
Oh, sorry, the ospris. Zerfon temidil alalachat v'derachav. V'yoso
kechut, yeah.
Haran bavdo.
Okay, so he says that the purpose of the ospris is to act as a reminder for us to constantly follow in his path. And he says it's like a sign of an adon on an evet. So it is kind of similar to a tattoo in the sense that it's a sign onto the individual explaining who your master is and that you're an evet to the master. But he says, he does say that the purpose of it is not the os itself, but it's to remind the person for his soul to be in line with God's path. Zikaron tzmidi lalachas bedrachav. But he goes on, the Svarno. If you look at Yud Gimel, he explains why the Bris Mila was only by a man. He says, Bifsarchem. So he says, Basar hu kinoi le'ever hamashagyal, belashon hakodesh. So he basically is explaining that Basar is a reference to the male genitalia. And he says, that's what it's a reference to in Lashon HaKodesh. Kimo gidule basar zov mibisaro o hechdim bisaro mizovo vizulasam. So those are all examples where basar is used to reference that limb, that aver. And then he says, v'zeh, so why is it there? He says, v'zeh ki biyos os habris b'zeh ha'aver ha'mesabiv nitchios b'min yore al ha'nitchios ha'mechavim b'vris. So the very limb that's responsible for perpetuating the species forever is also responsible for demonstrating the everlasting quality of the bris. Uviyoso aver hatolada yore haos asher bo al hemshech habris al habanim. And by putting it on this limb, it's referencing the idea that this os and this bris will continue on in the future amongst the children. So there's a real purpose, or there's an idea of the os. It's not just an os that you place anywhere on your body, but it's placed on that area of the body to reflect the concept. The concept being that it's not just a bris for the now, but it's actually a bris for the future. And by putting it there, so that's what it's teaching the person. So I want to just elaborate on this idea that Sforno is saying and show why it's different than a tattoo a little bit. See, I think there's an idea, there's a psychological aspect to getting a tattoo, which is that when a person gets a tattoo, they think that this tattoo is going to last forever. Like a lot of times, you want something to last forever, so you get a tattoo. But really, that's really a denial of the death, especially the death of the body. Because in Yahadus, in Torah, we recognize that the body, it exists in this life, and then eventually you pass away, and your body goes back into the ground. Al-Afar Tashav, you go back to the ground. So the idea is that in the Torah, we recognize that our soul is really our essence, and our soul lasts forever, but not our body. But when a person gets a tattoo, there is psychologically a feeling that this will be forever. So, but you see by the os of the Torah, the os bris, the concept is different. It's true that we're putting it on our skin, but we recognize that through this, what the Sforno is saying, that this os isn't really, it's not really that our body, that we're going to last forever, but it's really referencing the opposite, that we will eventually die, and this os will pass on from generation to generation. So you see that built into our os, as opposed to the os of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, is the Torah concept, which is that the us of the Torah is really not focusing on the body and the, and this sign or this tattoo on our body about the body itself, but it's referencing the future, and that even though we recognize that we're not immortal and our bodies will die, that we want this bris and we recognize this bris will last forever, as opposed to the other type of tattoo or the tattoo of the non-Jews, where really there's a feeling or there's a psychological concept that the body is really going to last forever, and the tattoo really expresses that. So they're really like different ideas of an os. So I think the Svarno, he's just showing you that when you get an os on your body, it's really a rejection of the true concept of the os. So it's true that both are on the body, but they're different concepts. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah looks at the tattoo, or at least psychologically values the tattoo in terms of its permanence. And by doing so, he ends up putting too much emphasis on the body once again. And basically he's saying that the body will last forever. Whereas the tattoo of the Jew is on the part of the body which recognizes that it's not about the now, but it's about the future. And even though we recognize that we will be deceased and our bodies will be destroyed, but this bris will continue on in the future forever and ever. So really it's a little bit of a different approach than the Rambam and certainly the Rashi. And that he's saying that the essential idea of getting a tattoo or the Isser is really a rejection of our concept of what a true os is. Would you agree? Do you guys have any questions on that or agree with that point? Make sense? Tamar, you've been speaking up a lot. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. You have any questions?
No.
All right. Did you like the part where it says, Hadaras panim zakein, that the beautiful face has a beard? To quote, we mentioned in this Vorno, it's a quote from Gemara Shabbos, that a beautiful face has a beard. That's why he says that you can't shave off your beard, or at least with a razor. Anyways.
Very interesting.
Yes. All right, so now we just took up the philosophy, and now we're going to just take up the Gemara, and one interesting halacha l'maisa case about writing with a pen, let's say. Is it okay to write with a pen? But first we have to do the Gemara inside. And the Gemara it seems simple at first, but it's kind of a little bit complicated, so I'm going to go slow. If we look at number 8, we'll do the Mishnah. Miriam's going to read the Mishnah inside.
Mitanya, HaKatuv Ketuvat Kaka, Katav Lo Kaka, Kaka Lo Katav, Eino Chayav Al Sheikhtav,
Ad Sheikhtov,
Ad Sheikhtov, Vayikaka.
It should say Bidiyo. It's a mistake. Bidiyo.
Bidiyo.
Okay, good. So the Mishnah, it's bringing down the first Shita. The first Shita, the Tanakhama or the Chachamim, they say that it's an Isser to tattoo. If a person just writes without actually inscribing in the skin, or he inscribes something in the skin, but he doesn't write, it says, Eino Chayev, he's not Chayev, meaning he doesn't get punished. You have to do both. You have to write and you have to put an inscription in the skin. Bidiyo with ink, v'kachol with dye, v'chol davar shu roshom. So the first shita is pretty much, it seems simple. It's just saying that if you get a tattoo, no matter what, you're chayev, but you have to get the whole tattoo. Okay, go on.
Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah.
Ben Yehuda, Mishem Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino chayev ad sheyachtov sham et Hashem.
Okay, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishim Rav Shimon argues, and he says that you're only chayav when you write the shame. And he quotes the pasuk, so you should not write a tattoo upon yourself, ani Hashem. So what exactly does this mean? What is the second shita arguing about the first shita? So we have to look at the Gemara for that. So if you look a little bit further on in source number 8, and this Gemara, is Makos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. It says, Amar Le Rav Acha Brei De Rav Le Rav Ashi. Ad Yichtov Ani Hashem Mamish? Does that mean that a person has to tattoo the words Ani Hashem, and only then will he be Chayev? Amar Le, he says back to him, Lo, Kedetani Bar Kafra. No, like Bar Kafra taught, Eino Chayev Ach Yichtov Shem Avodos Kochavim. You're only Chayev for tattooing if you write the name of an Oved or Avodas Kochavim, Shinemar, Uchsoves Kaka, Lo Sitnu Bachem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Belo Acher. So it says in the Pasuk, You should not tattoo on your body. Ani Hashem, and Ani Hashem v'lo acher, nobody, or no other being. So this shita is saying that you can't tattoo the name of an avodah zarah on your body. And only then will you be usher, or over this isser, and get malchus. So we have a machlokes here. We have an argument. One side, the first side is saying that you're chayev if you just tattoo. So let's say a guy wants to get a picture of a loved one tattooed on their arm, or they want to get a design. So the first sheet is saying you're chayev midaraisa and you get malchus. Whereas the second sheet is saying no, only if you put, let's say, the word Jesus on your arm will you be chayev malchus. But if you just get a design on your arm, you're not going to be chayev malchus. Now, will you be chayev anything? So let's look at Rashi in number 9.
Question. Yeah. I don't get Rabbi Shimon's basis for this.
Okay, good.
Because every word, like half the mitzvah in the Torah ends with Ani Hashem. Like you look at the Asarat Torah words. In our arms, Ani Hashem.
Okay, Miriam's
so
saying
consistent with that.
Well, Miriam's saying why or what's the basis for Rav Shimon? It says Ani Hashem, but it says Ani Hashem in many places. So what exactly is the concept of Rav Shimon and what are they arguing about, I think? What's the machlokas based on? It's very nice to say one sheet holds this and one sheet holds that, but what point are they arguing about? Let's just do Rashi before we explain the Mishnah and the Gemara. If we look at Rashi number 9, he says, under the Gemara, because the Mishnah, he kind of just explains what exactly a tattoo is. And in the Gemara, he says, Ad sheyichtov ani Hashem mamish. That's the question. Al tevos halalu ani Hashem ata mechayvo mishum ksovis kaka. So are you going to be chay for tattooing if you write ani Hashem? No, uchsovis kaka lo sitinu bachem. Shum ksovis kaka lo yasu lefonai. So you can't tattoo before me, shani Hashem, because I am Hashem. The asurin atem lichtov shem acher al besarchem. You can't place another name on your basar. Alma, therefore, ikar chiyuva mishum shem avodas kochavim. So the ikar, meaning the essential chiyuv, obligation and punishment, occurs through writing the name of an avodas kochavim on your skin. Umihu asur lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam, but you can't write any ksiva at all. Afil the Rav Shimon el dechiyuv malchus leka. So even though Rav Shimon holds that midaraisa, you're only going to get punished if you write the shame of an avodah zarah on your skin, but nevertheless, he holds that you'd still be usher. It's not clear whether it's an isser derabanan or deraisa, but he still holds it's usher to get a regular tattoo. So nobody really holds that you can just get a regular tattoo. It's just a question of midaraisa to get malchus and the full punishment. Is it whenever you get a tattoo, even if it's a popular design that you like, or is it only if you write the shame of an avodah zarah on your skin will you be chayev malchus? So we really have to explain the distinction or try to explain or define these two shitas. So we need a little bit of Brisker definition. I don't know if most of you are familiar with the Brisker method, but we're going to just have to categorize how these two differ. In what sense do they differ? So I think I'm just going to explain it or try to define it, and you guys, hopefully, it'll be understood. So the first sheet is, I think, saying that anytime you get a tattoo, you're really chayev. So what's the first sheet saying? What exactly are they categorizing as the isser? So they're categorizing the isser as simply the act of tattooing, right? You guys agree? So the act of tattooing alone is what the chayev goes on and what the isser is, and that's what you get malchus on. What's interesting about the first shita is that you have two separate acts. You have ksav and kaka, and when they come together, even though they might be mutter on their own, for example, ksav alone is mutter and kaka alone is mutter, but when they like the Mishnah says, eno chayev, but when they come together, they create a new process. According to the first shita, when you have a maisa of tattooing, this new process of tattooing, that is the isser. The isser is this process of tattooing. But really, the first shita is saying that you have two separate disparate actions coming together to create a new process. I was trying to think of a good example. You see this, I was thinking of like pole vaulting. I don't know why I was thinking about pole vaulting. But in pole vaulting, there's the running part, and then you stick the pole into the ground, and then you jump over the bar. So you see that there's two actions in pole vaulting. You have the running and you have the jumping, the two main actions. Of course, you can break it down into more smaller actions, but the main actions are the running and the jumping. But when they come together to create a new idea or a new concept of pole vaulting. They're no longer actions that exist within themselves. but they come together to create a new entity. So too by tattooing. Tattooing, it's taking two separate actions, and in particular, and you put them together and you create a new act of tattooing. And that tattooing is the Isser, is what the Isser is chal on, right? But what exactly is the second shita holding? Apparently the second shita, we're going to try another approach, is holding that really there's no idea of tattooing. It's not a new action. But the real Isser is ksiva, is to write the shem avodas kochavim on your skin. The only thing is that when you're writing on your skin, the only way to make the writing a complete writing and to make it a real writing of the skin, you need to inscribe it in your skin. So the idea, the second sheet is saying that the real Isser would be, it would be just as much, or it would be just as usser to write in a pen, to take a pen and write, let's say, Jesus on your arm. It would be just as usser. But that's not a real writing. A real writing only occurs in the skin when it's inscribed into the skin. So the second shita, they're not learning tattooing as being an entity within itself, like a new action within itself. But they're really saying that tattooing is ksiva, but it's a form of writing on the skin. But the real Isser is to write the Shem Avodas Kochavim on the skin. And the only way to make it a writing or a true writing of the skin, you need to do it in this way. You need to inscribe it in the skin. But it's not a new act of tattooing. It's just a way of creating a permanent Shem Avodah Zarah and a Ksivas Avodah Zarah on the skin. So maybe that's the Machlokas. The Machlokas is it that we have a new act of tattooing? That's one way to go. Just like pole vaulting, when you take the running and the jumping, it creates a new Maisa of pole vaulting. Or is it that, no, it's really Ksiva, and it's really the act of writing. But if you write, and the real Isser is to write the Shem Avodah Zarah on the skin. But it's not a writing. It's not a complete writing unless it's inscribed in the skin. If it's not inscribed, it's not really part of the basar. It's not really part of the skin. So really the ka'aka, the inscription, is really necessary to make it a ksivas avodas kochavim on your arm. But without it, it wouldn't be that. So those are the two ways of viewing the Isser. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that clear? So I think that's how a brisker would approach this Gemara. Simply just defining what the Isurim are. We're not going to go into philosophy. Of course, it would be nice to say, this one holds that it's how the Ovdei Kochavim used to do it, and this one doesn't hold it. Or it's not necessary when you're defining a Gemara purely in a brisker way and in a halachic way to go into the reasons, the whys. All we have to do is define what they're saying. So I'm defining what the first sheet is saying, that the Isser is in the Maisa, and it's a new Maisa, a new act. Whereas the second sheet is saying it's an Isser of Ksivas of Avodas Kochavim on your arm, but what makes it that is the Ksivas Kaka. That makes it into a Ksiva. I think that's really mashma from Rashi, because he says it pretty openly. He says, Asur natem lichtov shem acher al besarchem. So he's really tying it to the Ksiva, the act of writing. But you need the ka'aka to make it a ksiva, to make it a full writing, to make it a permanent writing. Okay? All right. So since we're kind of running short on time, that's the Iker Gemara. And there's one more Gemara. I'm just going to do it outside and just explain it. There's another Gemara where the Gemara, and we're not going to define it, but the Gemara explains that if you have a wound, you're not allowed to put burnt up ash into the wound because it's nearest kiksovis kaka. Apparently there's an idea of maras ayin by kiksovis kaka, by a tattoo, and you can't even, according to one sheet in the Gemara, you can't put black ash into your wound because your wound is open and eventually it'll look like you have a tattoo. Whereas Rav Ashi, at the end of the Gemara, he argues with that and he says that as long as you have a wound, it's not a tattoo. So if another person saw that you had a wound or you have a scar, they're not going to confuse it with the tattoo, and it's not a problem. Okay? The real halacha l'maisa, we're not going to define that normally or typically. I would go into detail on that, but we're running a little bit short on time, and I want to take up an interesting point halachically in terms of halacha l'maisa. So there's a classic question, is a person allowed to write on their skin? So we do it all the time. We write phone numbers on our skin. Some of us do. We write phone numbers on our skin, or we write notes on our skin if you want to cheat. And there are various things that we write on our skin. So according to this Gemara and this Mishnah, what would you say about that case? Is that a problem of Ksovas Kaka or not? Or should that be Usser or not? What do you guys think at this point?
No.
It shouldn't be Usser. Why not? It's not permanent. Good. Okay, good. I like that. So we're going to do the Minchas Chinach. He actually takes up this question. It's number 11. He says, V'nei, so it's kind of small. The Mishnah, as we read before, says that if a person simply inscribes in his skin and he doesn't write, or if he writes and he doesn't inscribe, he's eno chayef. Ach eno mevuar b'Rambam im yesh iser d'rabbanan. The Rambam, in describing this halacha, doesn't really explain whether, there would be an iser d'rabbanan to write on your skin without inscribing or etching, and vice versa, or etching without writing. Ach mi lashon pater. The Rambam, he says pater, and if we look in the Rambam number 5, if we go back to number 5, he says, kasav, it's about 3 lines up from the bottom of the Rambam. He says, kasav lo rasham betseva. So if a person just writes and he wasn't rasham betseva, osha rasham betseva velo kasav besrita, or if he's rasham betseva and he didn't inscribe it into his skin, pater. So you need those 2 actions in order to be chayav, but he uses the word pater. So what do we usually say about pater in general? Usually the term pater is used pater avol asur, meaning even though you're pater midoraisa, meaning mina Torah, you're allowed to do it, but midorabanan it's asur. So it's mashma from the Rambam that he uses the term pater in those cases that really it seems like there would be an issur derabanan. So he says the minchas chinuch if you go on, he says ach mi lashon pater nira de ika isura kimosha kasav harav hamachaber le'el mitzvah reishnun beiz gabe zaken. Ach das akesav mishnah sham b'halacha zayin gam kein demoter lechatchila. But there's another case where the Rambam says pater, and the kesef mishnah says that he doesn't mean pater, he means moter lechatchila. So there's 2 ways of learning the Rambam: either it's an issur derabanan to write on your skin without inscribing, or not. Uva mishnas chachamim kasav demi lashon a Rambam shelo kasav kan makos mardos nira demoter lechatchila. So you have another shita that proves from the Rambam that it's moter lechatchila, because he never says that you're going to get makos mardos, which is malchus midrabanan. The ein zed diuk degam le'elo kasav makos mardos. Okay, fine. So he rejects that, the minchas chinuch, and then he says v'chein v'ayin tosos gitin. He says chafam abeis divar maskel v'ksovis kaka kasvul le'inan get sham demoki ashas v'ksovis kaka dahinu ksav she'inu yachol limchok near midivrayim de'ika yisur midirabanan. So tosos is mashma that there is an issur derabanan. So this, and he goes on. We're going to go to the next paragraph, but this basically is the question. The very question is, if a person writes on their skin without the actual needling and the inscription in the skin, is that an issur derabanan or not? So there seems to be 2 ways of learning. Some say that based on the Rambam, it would be issur derabanan because he uses the word pater. But other shitas say that no, that when he says pater, he really means mutter, lechatchila. And there are other situations, very few, where the Rambam uses pater, but he means mutter. So the Minchas Chinuch is going to qualify this. Uve emes ach ha'isser derabanan. If you look in the next paragraph, uve emes. Uve emes ach ha'isser derabanan eno ela biksav kayam. So the only time you're going to be over the isser derabanan is if you use a permanent type of ksav, ve eno yachol limchok, if it's a ksav that you can't erase, kemo asrita ba'atma. Like, for example, the srita, meaning the inscription or the etching in your skin, is also something that's permanent. V'chein gabe get, by a get, b'inan she'enu yachol izayif. It has to be an ink that is very permanent, that you can't forge it. Alkein usur afilu b'ksiva l'chud. In that situation, it would be usur if you write it alone. If you use a permanent dye on your skin, it would be an issur derabanan. Aval ksav be'alma al gufo, if a person just writes on their skin, o b'diyo, o b'sikra, ein kan isur. If a person just used ink, or different types of inks, there's not going to be an isser. Kain nira pashat. So what's the Minchas Chinuch saying? He's saying really there is an isser. If you were to use a dye that would dye your skin permanently, you'd be over an isser derabanan. But if you used a pen, for example, and you just wrote on your skin, you would not be over an isser derabanan. Why? Because you need an ink that's permanent. And then he goes on to reject the other shita. Lufize in raya mashukasav hamishnas chachamim. So the Mishnah Chachamim holds that it's not usher at all, even if you use a permanent dye. He says, look, we see that people write on themselves all the time, so it must not be usher. But the Minchas Chinuch says, Uve emes lo reisi mishum Yisrael sheyaseh reshima shelo yuchal limchok al gufo. In general, Jews, they don't write on themselves in using permanent dyes. So you can't use a proof that people write on themselves as a proof that there's no Issur Darabanan. Rather, there's only an Issur Darabanan according to the Minchas Chinuch when you use a permanent dye. And Jews in general, when they write on themselves, they don't use a permanent dye. Alkein nira dehu Issur Darabanan kedasa tosos. And so he's saying it's an Issur Darabanan. Umea Rambam nira gamkein kein miloshan patrik de le'el and miloshan on Mishnah inuchayev alkein ein lahakya. So the Minchas Chinuch is paskining that there's an Issur Darabanan, whereas the other Shitas, the Mishnas Chachamim, and many other Achronim paskin that there is no Issur Darabanan. But of course, the one qualifying factor is that it's only in a situation where you use a permanent ink. So I think somebody said it on the phone, I don't remember who, but they were correct. If you use a permanent ink, there could be an Issur Darabanan, according to some Shitas, and if you don't, and other Shitas hold there's no Issur Darabanan at all. But I don't think anybody holds that if you just use a pen or a pencil on your hand, that would be an Issur Darabanan. Why? Because there's no permanence to a pen or a pencil. It comes out right away. So with that, I think we gained some insight into a little bit of the halacha l'maisa. So next time you run out of a pad of paper, when somebody calls on the phone, you can just write it on your hand, or hopefully nobody's cheating here on their test. But if you want to cheat, it's usher to cheat, but you're allowed to write the notes on your hand in order to cheat. So based on this halacha l'maisa, and I think if you just want, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, I didn't bring the tshuva down, he actually says explicitly based on this Minchas Chinuch that it would be mutter. Whereas other achronim, as said before, say that it's not even usher even if you use a permanent dye. So if a person wanted to stick their hands into a tie-dye machine and dye their hands, according to other rishonim, it wouldn't even be usher at all. So that would be the machlokas. So hopefully we gain insight into the three areas of tattooing tonight. So as we said before in the beginning of this year, the objective was to discuss the philosophy and the Gemara and a little bit of Halach L'maisa. As I said before, the area is much bigger than just tonight, and we only had an hour to discuss the area, but I just wanted to give a little bit of insight into the three areas. And we discussed those different topics within tattooing. And just a quick summary, there's two ways of learning the philosophy of tattooing, or the problem with it. One is that it caters to the Avodah Zarah emotions that even exist nowadays. And the other idea we said is that it's a rejection of our ospris, and it's really a desecration of our body. And we demonstrated the difference between our ospris and the os of a tattoo. And then we did the Gemara, and we just defined Brisker style, the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon, whether tattooing is a new entity or a new type of action, or is it just a ksiva, and it just makes the ksiva a better ksiva, a more permanent ksiva in the skin. And then lastly, we discussed one issue in Halach L'maisa, which is whether writing with a pen on your hand would be a problem. So we basically came out with the idea that nobody would hold writing with a pen on your hand would be a problem because the ink that you're using isn't permanent. But if you use permanent ink, there's a question there. And the Minchas Chinuch holds it would be Asur Darabanan, whereas other Shitas say that if you wanted to use a permanent dye, it wouldn't even be an Asur Darabanan. So I think that concludes tonight's share. So hopefully we took out Mr. Clavin of the New York Times article, and we didn't give him any credence in our share. And hopefully the ideas are clear. Anybody have any questions on the share?